13. For those that brought their Bible, we could turn there. 5 and 13. It says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he had committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit." I want to just teach, minister this morning on sick or afflicted. Sick or afflicted. This is something that I have been taking note of for a little while. I was, obviously, when you read through Scripture, there are certain things that you just try, that just jump out at you as you're reading. And it was something that I just, you know, in your notes, I want to come back to that. I need to spend a little more time there. And the Lord kind of worked things out and allowed Gigi and I really to kind of experience this. And so I just want to minister this morning on kind of what I believe the Lord was teaching us and helping us with, and then what he helped us through. And hopefully this will be a blessing to someone. I really do feel like someone today can be healed. Someone can be healed today. In fact, I'll go a step further. I really believe that someone will be healed today. Amen. And so I just pray that if someone doesn't understand, that there would be understanding in this place, and that we would just follow the biblical pattern, and we would just, in just obedience to what the Word says, and that the Lord will do what His Word says He will do. So the first thing when I was reading this is, it seems so simple, you know. If there's any afflicted, let him pray. If there's any sick, just let him call for the elders of the church, pray the prayer of faith, done, right? And so as I was looking at this, I was like, you know, I know of a few situations, and I'm sure all of us know of a few situations where it has not been quite as simple as the Scripture seems to denote. And so I begin to ask the question, well, is there a difference? Who is this writer writing to? Is there a difference between just everyone, or is he writing to the church? And as I'm reading, I'm realizing, obviously, it's James' epistle. It's an epistle to the churches. He is one of the leaders of the church, and so he's writing this just epistle, and so he is writing to the church. And so the first distinction is that there, to me, what I see in Scripture is there's a distinction between the sinner and the saint. Okay? For the sinner, for the person that is unsaved, Scripture says that in Isaiah 53 that this is speaking of Jesus, that surely he hath borne our griefs. And the word in Hebrew is sickness, and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Amen. Meaning that he has already paid that healing already. Amen. He has already endured the stripes for our healing. And so to everyone, healing is available because God has already paid for it. Jesus already paid for it. Hallelujah. We see that, again, to the sinner, that is a promise to everyone. Amen. That God has already gone forward and paid that. Also, there is, we see that for the sinner, that the miraculous is to confirm the word preached. So in Mark 16, we know of the, you know, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned, and these signs shall follow them. It says at the end, Mark 16 and 18, that they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Again, that is a promise. That is something specific, he said. And then in 16 and 20, it says that, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. So what is that saying? That is saying that God allows the miraculous for whosoever will to confirm the word preached, to confirm who God is. It is to bring glory to him, and he is allowing the miraculous to happen to confirm the word preached. When someone preaches the gospel, when someone offers to pray for someone, God is going to back them up. Hallelujah. To the unsaved, to the sinner, right? And then the miraculous is to bring someone to the point of belief. Again, the healing is available to whosoever will to bring someone to the point of belief. In John 4 and 48, Jesus was a nobleman had come to him and asked him to come pray for, I believe, his daughter. And in John 4 and 48, it says, and Jesus said unto him, he looked at him, he said unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And so Jesus tells him right up front that I'm going to do the miraculous. And the whole point is to bring you to the place of belief. The whole point is to bring you to a place that you will believe the word, believe in me, obviously, because it's Jesus speaking. And that's exactly what happened. He went on his journey. His servants came to him, said, your daughter's well. He said, what hour? When they said at the same hour that he was speaking to Jesus, it said that he believed in him and all his household. Amen. The miraculous for the unsaved was to bring him to a point of belief, of reality of who Jesus is and the word that he spoke. And finally, sickness available to everyone is an opportunity. We can view it as a hindrance, and we can view it as, in John 9 and 1, they passed by a blind man, Jesus and his disciples asked him, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered and said, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Hallelujah. People were getting hung up on the whys. People were getting hung up on all the details. And God's just saying, he's there so that the miraculous works of God can be made manifest. Amen. So that God can get glory. Amen. He is sovereign. And so those are just a few examples of how that the miraculous is available to everyone. Healing is available to whosoever will. Amen. But as you read in the New Testament, anyone who's read in the New Testament, there is clearly sickness, infirmities, all kinds of things that are mentioned in the New Testament regarding the saints. And so, just a couple examples, Galatians 4, that Paul is writing to the Galatians. He said, you know, through infirmity of the flesh, I preached the gospel unto you at first. In 1 Timothy 5 and 23, drink no longer water, this is Paul to Timothy, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thy often infirmities. Okay? And then Philippians 2 and 25, yet I suppose to necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger that he ministered to my wants, for he longed after you and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Again, another minister of the gospel, sick. Amen. Right? Three different men who are saints, who are ministers, who are sick in the word. And so there is a difference. And that difference is that sickness and affliction are two different things in the scripture. And this, I'm just going to say it how I feel like the Lord gave it to me, is that he does not see sickness as we view sickness. He sees things as either a sickness or an affliction. And the difference is that an affliction God has allowed. Amen. Okay? The most classic example is Job, right? Because we actually get to peer into the conversation between our adversary, Satan, and God. That's an example of an affliction. But to God, a sickness is nothing. I can heal that right now. That's not a problem. Amen. But an affliction is for the purpose of some particular purpose God has in mind, or a particular season that he is allowing to bring something out of you or I, to show a lack in you or I, or to bring us to a new place. Amen. All right? And God allows what to us we view as a sickness, but to him it's an affliction. I've allowed it, and I'm giving a space of time to bring things to the completion that I'm looking for. But a sickness, if it's a sickness to God, I can heal that right now. And he's given this method in the word in James on how to deal with that. So what I mean by that is that to God, if someone has, and I'll just use this because it's the first thing that comes to mind, if someone has diabetes, if it is a sickness, God can heal that right now. Amen. But if God has allowed it as an affliction, he has specifically allowed it, then it is there for a season, it is there for a purpose, and it'll be there for a particular period of time till God, it is accomplished what it need to accomplish according to God. And then once it has finished that, now to God, it's a sickness and I can heal it. Come on. So now there are many different facets, and there's no way for me to get into all this, and obviously there's going to be a lot of intricacies to this, and I can't really dive into every avenue. But affliction is meant to bring, let's jump into the story of Job. We know that Satan, when he was coming to the Lord asked him, have you considered Job? The conversation, we could all read that on our own. But Satan asked the question, and I really believe this is what our adversary is after. As he said, Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Amen. Basically, Satan said, Job doesn't just fear you just because. Job has a reason. Amen. Satan was convinced that there was a reason why Job served God so faithfully. And so what does Satan ask for? He said, you've put a hedge about him. You've blessed his house, the works of his hands, and his substance is increased. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Basically, Job only serves you for the blessings. All right? And so here's where the affliction comes in. God says, all right, let's see. You have the ability to take his stuff. Go ahead, let's see. And so a particular space was given for the adversary to access Job. Obviously, his stuff was all taken. And Job continued to stay faithful. And so, again, we see Job 2 that Satan comes again. And Satan told the Lord, you know, the Lord kind of puts it in him. He's like, Job, he's still doing pretty good. And Satan's like, all right, whatever. He said, skin for skin, yet all that a man hath, he will give for his life. Okay? So now Satan's going for another level. He's saying, health. He's saying, Job only serves you because he's healthy. If he's sick, he'll curse you to your face. He continues, but put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thy hand, but save his life. There's perimeters, there's bounds to this. So when Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, he smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. So here's the example of affliction. God has allowed the adversary to touch Job. And why? We can go through so many different scriptures. We can go through so many different passages in Job. But the one that always stands out to me is that, I don't have it in my notes, but in Job, I believe it's 26, he is back and forth with his friends. And he says, the thing that I have most feared has come upon me. So to me, in my mind, just one of the things God was trying to bring out was, even though God said Job was perfect, God knows the heart. And so really, Job was doing a lot of the things he was doing out of fear. He was trying to do all the do's and not do all the don'ts out of fear that he would be rejected. And God says, even though I know he's doing so well, there's something more, and he doesn't even realize maybe what's in his heart or to the depth of what's in his heart. And so God allows something into Job's life. Why? To get him to bring out that thing that's been hiding. The secret reason why he's doing what he's doing. The secret reason is he was fearful. He was actually serving God out of fear, and not the reverence fear, but the actual fear that he would lose it all. He was trying to do so many things right. And God says, I got something better. I know the heart, and I want to help your motives so that you serve me with your whole heart, with a pure heart, because you love me, and not out of fear that I'm some, mean ruler that's going to judge you as soon as you do something wrong. That's just one thing, but that is one of the reasons affliction exists, and that it is meant to test where your heart is and where your treasure is. That affliction is meant to bring out the secret things that are in our heart, the secret things that we have kept maybe hidden. Maybe we don't even realize them to a degree. But when you get in a situation, when you get in pressure, when you get in circumstances that overwhelm you, you begin to say things you probably don't normally say. You begin to express anger that you don't normally express. You begin to explode at little things. What is all that? Is that God is touching a little part inside here, and he's saying, there's something here. There's something here. Why is it so important for the Lord to reach into the heart and touch those things? It's because there are so many scriptures in the New Testament that we can't fulfill out of just doing them in our own ability. In Matthew 18, Jesus told us that if you don't forgive from your heart those that have wronged you, you will not be forgiven. Meaning that it's not just us saying, I forgive you, but you have to mean it from your heart. That is the full depth of forgiveness. And so God says, I know you can't do that on your own. So I need you to first take that step and forgive, but I'm coming later and I'm going to come help you meet that, because I know what's in your heart and I know you want to, but you can't Has anyone ever forgiven someone and you keep mulling it over, you keep thinking about it, you kind of want to take it back, right? What is that? That's our humanity trying to deal with forgiveness, which to me is a divine thing to begin with. Amen. And God's saying, if you just keep that surrendered, you just keep that forgiveness, you just keep putting that under the blood and leave it there and don't try to pick it back up, then I will help you because I'm trying to get you to the place that you can truly forgive from the heart. And that's when there's true forgiveness for you according to God. God said that the greatest commandment was to love him with all of our heart. Can we really do that in our own strength? Hallelujah. Scripture says our heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? Amen. So we can't even know the depth of our heart. And so what has to happen? God has to allow things to bring them up that our actions or our words will speak what has been in our heart, right? Amen. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so God allows stuff, he allows affliction for that season, for that purpose, to dig up things, and then when you speak them, or your actions that kind of go, whoa, what was that? You know, you explode on someone because they took your favorite pen. Well, guess what? That should send a red flag. Okay, what's going on here? Right? And so God's just poking something until you basically reveal it, and then he goes, all right, now come to me, talk to me about it, and I'll help you deal with that. Amen. Because the Lord wants you to be right with him probably more than we want to be right with him. Come on. He's trying to help us fulfill the things he's put in his word, but we need him in order to do that. Amen. Affliction has so many different reasons, so many different things to help us. Affliction is meant to make us turn to Jesus. Hosea 5 and 15 says, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense. This is God to his people. And seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. Meaning, I have allowed this thing into your life, and the whole reason I'm doing that is to get you, get me to come to him, to talk to him, right? That's what prayer is. Come talk to me. I want to have a conversation. And most likely, God has ulterior motives in that conversation because we're going to come to him about the problem, right? Because that's what brought us there. But in the meantime, when you come to him and you're truly open with him, he's going to start pointing out other things. He's going to start pointing out how you treated a brother. He's going to start pointing out how you're cheating something or you're doing something wrong, and he's going to convict you about that. He has ulterior motives. He's going to start pointing out some stuff as you come to him. And why is that? Because he wants to make you right. He wants to do whatever he can to get you in true relationship, in true alignment. Hallelujah. With him. He doesn't want a fake relationship. Amen. He doesn't want a surface relationship. He wants depth. Amen. And affliction is a sign of depth because affliction is a sign of sonship. In Hebrews 12 and 6, it says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? We see this in Paul's life, that God's initial calling to him in Acts 9, God told Ananias that, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. What was he saying? There is going to be a depth to Paul, and the only way I'm getting that depth out is through the suffering. And we know that in his thorn that God told him that that thorn was there, or he came to the understanding that that thorn was there in order to balance the revelations, that without the thorn, without the affliction, that he could not handle the revelations, and he would get puffed up in pride, and he'd be lost. So for him, that affliction was necessary for his salvation in order to do everything God had called him to do. But it's a sign of sonship. God deals with us as sons if we receive correction. And his correction sometimes is in the form of this pressure, this situation, this circumstance that we can't explain. So back to my text in James 5:13. He said, is any among you afflicted? He says, let him pray. That affliction is there to draw you to the Lord. That affliction is there to help you develop a prayer life that's going to keep you through the rest. May keep you through who knows what. But it is there, and it is for that person to pray. Learn to pray. To pray often. To learn to begin to trust in God, not in their own ability, their own resources. But if it's a sickness, it says, any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. So when God gives something, there is a specific reason he says the way he says. And it says that if there's any sick, let him call. So it's not the job or the responsibility of someone else to go pray. But God has said, if you are sick, let him call the elders of the church and let them pray. And that is something that is sometimes hard. Our humanity, I don't know about you, but there are times for me specifically that I feel like the Lord is nudging me to make the first step doing something. And I start beginning to go real logical. It's like, well, you know, maybe right now. And so that is something that I have to work through. And so God usually, he will, a lot of if statements, a lot of if you'll do this, then I will. And what is all that? That is saying, I need you to take the first step. And when you take the first step, I'll make up the difference to meet you. Amen. And this is no different. He says, if it is sickness, I need you to make the first step and make the call. Make the conversation, start the conversation, whatever it takes. I need you to call, and I need you to make the request. Why is that? Because it is showing your need for the body. God literally set this up that you're not the one, right? You need someone else to. You're also recognizing the leadership that's established. There's a whole bunch of things that are all happening right here. It's you showing that you're not big enough to just man this out or overcome this yourself or wait it out, right? But it's a simple, if you will, God will. Hallelujah. Now, When we talk about this sickness, I just want to, I guess I'll give just an example, because that's affliction. It's for you to pray. A sickness is for you just simply to call for the elders, and they're going to do, they're going to anoint with oil, pray their prayer of faith, and that's going to work. It's that simple. Now, the difference between affliction and sickness. We must all ask the Lord when we are in a particular circumstance or particularly a sickness. We've got to ask the Lord, Lord, basically, have you allowed this? I'll tell a quick story. When I was listening to a message, and this man was telling a story of another minister. But these ministers were in, they had traveled to be in a meeting. One of them was praying before the meeting, and the Lord spoke to him and told him, why have you received something I didn't give you? And the minister said, well, Lord, okay, I don't want to receive it if you haven't given it. And the Lord told him, spoke to him and said, you've received diabetes and I didn't give that to you. I didn't allow that. And the minister was like, okay, well then, Lord, I don't receive it. Take it. And he said instantly he felt something change. And so he runs to one of the other ministers that was there, that was with him. He told him the same thing, and that minister said, okay, and asked the same thing to the Lord. Lord, if I have received something, and immediately he felt something change. And both of them in that moment, what had happened is that in this in-between of sickness and affliction is that someone had assumed that God had allowed this, all right, and that they had to endure this for, right, the time, whatever it's working, right? Well, in that process or in that assumption, without going to the Lord about it, without asking him, without doing the correct process, they had taken on something that God didn't intend for them. They had received something God didn't intend for them. And so the first thing is we must pray and ask God, is this an affliction or is this a sickness? And Lord, if what I am experiencing is something you haven't allowed, then I don't receive it. Take it. I'm giving it back to you. I'm giving it to you. I don't, hallelujah. It's not for me. Okay. Gigi and I have experienced this, different sicknesses, and we try to remember this principle. Lord, if you're not sending this, we don't receive this. I remember one particular time when we were newly married. She had come home from work, and she was laid up. You could tell it was going to be the flu because she was just, you know, shivering. She's curled up in the bed, doesn't want to eat, just miserable. And I'm trying to be the spiritual one, and I'm going to go pray, and I'm going to, Lord, I'm going to touch heaven. And the Lord just, it was like he showed me a picture of me, just go pray, just touch, put my hand on her head, pray for it to leave. And, you know, sometimes us spiritual folks, that's too simple. I've got to really touch heaven for the answer, right? I've got to really get a hold of God for this answer. God, you got to heal her. And again, that vision of just the hand on her head. And then he just shut it off. You could tell, when you're praying and then all of a sudden you say the wrong thing or you start going down this and all of a sudden things just boop, shuts off. And the Lord shut me off. And I was like, oh, come on, are you serious? Okay, fine. So I go, right? Simple prayer. You know, Lord, remove this. And I listed everything she was feeling. Remove this. If you haven't allowed this, we don't receive it. And by the next day, she was feeling much better. She went to the doctor and got tested. She had the flu. She tested positive for the flu, but the doctor said, it looks like you're on your last day. You basically, like, you tested positive, you had the flu, but you're on your last day. Well, clearly not, because just last night she had just come down with it. And so God miraculously touched her body right there. And why was that? because something was trying to come at us and attack us and attach itself to us when God hadn't allowed it. That's not an affliction. We don't have to endure that. God has given us victory. I know in his word, he is a healer and he will heal us, right? It's just a sickness. And if it's just a sickness, God can take care of it. And the second thing is kind of Gigi and I's story with little Lucas over there. We had gotten this word about that we were going to be pregnant. And then it seemed like everything went wrong. We couldn't have the baby. We went to the doctors. They ran all the tests. We're healthy. They can't find anything wrong. Ugh, so frustrating. Like, can you find something so we can, you know? Yeah, at least an excuse. Yeah, exactly. But no, nothing. Nothing. We're healthy. Every test comes back fine. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Yet, nothing's happening. Yet, nothing's happening. Yet, nothing's happening. And it seems like just stuff started happening. And the Lord didn't tell us in that process exactly what was happening. But I just remember the summer before Gigi got pregnant that we had begun to come to the church on Sunday evenings. And we were praying one evening, and the Lord spoke to Gigi and said, I have allowed spirit of infirmity to touch you for a particular purpose. But I've basically everything that was meant to accomplish has been accomplished, and there's no reason for that to be there anymore. And she came and told me, and I was like, well, okay. That information would have been useful for a few years. But I knew, and this scripture came up to me when she said that. I knew right away, it's a sickness now. It was an affliction. That spirit of infirmity, that thing God had allowed, was there to work a particular purpose. It was there to do whatever and everything God needed to do through us and to work in us. We spent so much time with the Lord working on us, a lot, a lot. But it was an affliction, and God had allowed it until now. Now it's a sickness. It's worked what it needed to work. It's fulfilled the season it needed to fulfill. But now it's a sickness, and God heals sicknesses. Amen. He heals sicknesses. And so we just followed the scripture. Texted pastor, asked him to come pray for us. And we came to him. He anointed us with oil. And within a matter of a couple months, we were pregnant. Why? Because the affliction that God allowed, that by all means would have been a sickness or some excuse or some reason to the medical community, now had become a sickness once God had finished and completed it. And when it became a sickness, now God can heal any sickness. There's no sickness that God cannot heal. But we've got to find out if what we have is an affliction and it's meant for us to pray. It's meant to bring us to maturity. It's meant to do any number of multifaceted things. But once it becomes a sickness, once it's fulfilled its term, once it's fulfilled its purpose, now it's a sickness. And there is nothing that God cannot heal once it's become a sickness in his eyes. If we'll stand. If we'll just begin to talk to the Lord, I really feel like the Lord nudged me to bring this topic because I truly believe that the Lord is ready, that the Lord is here, and he is present to heal, and that he is ready to heal someone today. not tomorrow, not sometime, not in the future, but I really believe that the Lord is here to heal someone today, that he is here and he is present to heal, and that no sickness God cannot heal. In your own way, if you just begin to ask the Lord, if there's something in your body, if there's something in friends or another person's body, I want you to begin to talk to the Lord, and I want you to ask that particular thing. Ask, Lord, is this a sickness or is this an affliction? And as you begin to ask, let him speak to you. Let him nudge you. And if it's a sickness, there is nothing that God cannot heal. There is nothing, I repeat, there is nothing that God cannot heal. All he's asking you is if it's a sickness, call for the elders of the church. They'll anoint you with oil. They'll pray the prayer of faith. And when you follow that, when you obey that, there is nothing that God cannot heal. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I just feel such a sweet presence of the Lord here. The Lord is here to minister to people, and he wants to touch you. I don't care how long you've had something. I don't care how long something's been going on. Nothing is too hard or too simple for God. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. As you're praying, just continue to pray. The Lord is here. I'm going to put down the microphone and we're going to take a few minutes before our next service. Thank you.